To those of you who are hopefully rejoining us on stream, I am so sorry. I accidentally exited out of the app. Hopefully you are catching back up and will be able to get back into this. My deepest apologies. Before we get into the sermon too much, let me just make sure. Let me load some comments and see if our folks are there. But before we get into the sermon, I just want to alert a couple of us. Some news going on in the church family. If you are a part of our prayer chain, you know that Bob Ettinger fell on Wednesday. Thank you. He fell on Wednesday and needed some surgery. He had broken part of his hip, needed some surgery. He came through the surgery all right and is in rehab right now. Evelyn is, last I heard at least, Evelyn is working out a way to be with him while he's in rehab. Please be praying for Bob and Evelyn as Bob recovers from a pretty rough injury. Be praying for him. We'll pray for him in just a second. I'm going to just invite us all to pray right now. As Laura tells everyone, he accidentally kicked everyone off. Thank you. Yep. So let's pray and let's just ask God to take care of Bob and Evelyn, but also to help us see what God is telling us. God, thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that we can come to you with all that we are, with things going on in our life, good, hard, difficult things. We think of Bob and Evelyn today, how Bob had fallen, had injured himself, and we ask and we pray for a good and swift recovery from this for him. We're mindful that there are other things going on in our community too. Sickness, difficulty, adapting to new life, new ways of doing things. We know some in our community are mourning these days. God, be with us, we pray. Help us hear from each other and help us hear from you. May we hear you more and more. May you be heard in what I say. If there's something of me that is not of you, take it away and help us listen only to you, God. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, before our kids go off to children's church, before we let you guys go, I want to ask, especially for some of our kids, and I say kids, you may be some of our older crew now, has our church ever done a VBS based off of Joseph? Joseph. Any takers? No? Like the whole thing. Nope. All right. That is okay. We talking about how Joseph, you know, he had this crazy multicolored coat and he was dreaming. We did an entire VBS on it in Fresno. Any shirts like this? Nothing? No? Any weird eyeliner Pharaoh makeup going on that your then girlfriend made you do? Nothing? No? Okay. Caitlin used her one and only opportunity to have me wear makeup. She used it on this for VBS Kids in Fresno. I say that if I come back next Sunday all painted, you'll know what happened. Well, this is the Joseph story. We are actually going to start a sermon series that comes right after Joseph, how Joseph had dreamed. Does anyone, any of our kids, can you share with me one detail out of the Joseph story? He was his dad's favorite, which is not always helpful, is it? He was his dad's favorite. Another detail. He had the many-colored coat. Good eyesight there. Observant, I like it. Any other details before we get going? And then he went to Egypt. And his family eventually came with him. And that's what we are going to be studying. We're going to be looking at the story of Exodus over the next few weeks. I just wanted to get us going, to remind us there. I am now reminding myself to make sure that we are going to release you to kids worship. So we're going to try and do this in the new way. If you noticed when you came in, there are letters by your rows. So I'm going to call out some letters. I believe over there we've got A for apples. So if you guys, if anyone over in that direction wants to go to kids worship. Oh, it's that way, isn't it? I'm back. There we go. Anyone over that way, if you want to go to kids worship, you can go meet your kids worship leaders in the lobby. Sawatsky crew and Shauna and Juan, and just a second after they get going, I'll release you guys. If you want to go to kids worship, all right, go for it if you'd like to go. Looking over down here in front, if you would like to go to kids worship, you are able to. W, you guys can go, and then over there we have E for Earth. Is that you guys? Lexi, is that you? Awesome. Enjoy kids worship. Have fun. All right, we've got our kids moving and out. They'll have some fun in their hula hoops back there. We hope and pray and trust. So I am actually really excited to start this series. Sorry for those of you who can't see it, but Susan helped us get it on the wall. Don't worry, not painted on. Will come off easily. We have not defaced the church building for a four-week series, I promise. But I am excited. I'm excited to start talking about Exodus because there's a lot of good stuff here. I'm actually going to be reading the entire book of Exodus this month, and I want to invite you to participate along with me. We're going to be in this sermon series for, I believe, 4 weeks, and I want to just encourage you, if you want to read along with me, I'm just going to be moving along each week and trying to read in my personal reading time the book of Exodus. And if you'd like to read, or if you are reading Exodus and you find something strange and want to talk about it, I'll be reading too. So if you want to shoot me an email, text, anything, I would love to do that. I'd love to invite you to read the book of Exodus with me. And it's strange because, I mean, that picture right there, that was four years ago. We had not even been married yet. That was four years and a couple of months ago that Caitlin persuaded me to get my eyeliner. I didn't have the pyramid leggings that she had. We did an entire Egypt-based VBS. But I have a lot of good memories of that VBS in Fresno, but also studying Exodus. And that's kind of strange because Exodus is a little bit of a rough story. It is. And what we're going to start out with today, is a little bit rough too, because the story of Exodus is the story of God freeing people. God freeing a hurting people. But throughout this series, I think what we're going to find is that because our God is a God of life, our God cannot be held back. Our God frees people who need him to save them. And I'm calling this series Finding the Way, Exodus, Finding the Way. And part of the reason I'm calling it that is because here we have God starting to show up. This is where God is starting to reveal himself to the people of Israel. This is after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, after it's just this one family, it's now this whole people group, and God, they start to see God fully. They're starting to find their way to the promised land out of Egypt, but they're also starting a journey that is ultimately going to lead them to Jesus. who is the way. So I'm going to invite you over the next few weeks to participate along, and we are going to read out of Exodus. We're going to be in Exodus 1 today, so you can flip there on your Bible or in your smartphone. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Let me just read it from here. Exodus 1, 6 through 14. Jeremy, I'm going to let you control these slides. In time, Joseph and all his brothers died, ending that entire generation. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to his people, "Look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country." So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramesses as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands. This is not a happy story to start out the book of Exodus, which the book of Exodus tells one of the great saving moments out of the entire Bible. The story of Exodus is God saving Israel. But it doesn't start out very well. It starts out pretty bleak. There is a perceived threat. The king of Egypt, we call the king of Egypt Pharaoh, but the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, sees a threat, and then he responds. This people group, the nation of Israel, it started from one family. This is, like I said earlier, the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're all in Egypt because of Joseph. If you remember back to the Joseph story, it's just a couple chapters back in Genesis, if you'd like to flip there. But the Joseph story is one where this evil thing happened to Joseph. His brothers got jealous of him, and so they sold him into slavery. And he ended up in Egypt and did well for himself, actually saved Egypt from a great famine, and was along the way reunited with his family, reunited with his brothers as they came down. And his family settled in Egypt, and they did so well, apparently, that this new Pharaoh comes to power and sees them as a threat. And the way we deal with threats in our world, it seems, is you have to put down the people that are threatening you, right? You have to make sure that they can't rise up against you. That's how our world often acts. And I want to acknowledge that this is not a fun story to try and draw parallels in. Often when we look at Bible stories, we try and find ourselves in there, and we try and find how we are like the people in the Bible story, or how we're called to not be like the people in the Bible story. And one of the common mistakes that we sometimes make is we often assume that as we are reading the Bible story, that we should be putting ourselves in the shoes of the nation of Israel. And that's pretty understandable for churches, because we all come from we come from church, following Jesus, and that came out of a movement from the Jewish people, that came out of Jewish followers of Jesus that spread the news to the rest of the lands and invited the rest of us in. But sometimes it's helpful to read this story from the angle of our culture and from different cultures around the world. And as I've read the story more and more, I've become convicted that even though sometimes we assume we're on the side of Israel in the story, we may have more in common as the United States with Egypt than we think. We are the reigning military superpower. Our military is the biggest in the world. That's how Egypt's was. We are the center of power, both militarily, economically. We're doing some amazing things with technology. They are working on a coronavirus vaccine in an incredible amount of time. We are doing things right now, and it's not just us, I acknowledge, it's across the world, but the United States is doing amazing things with technology. That's actually similar to Egypt. Egypt was the powerhouse militarily back in the day. Egypt was the center of philosophy and culture. They were the center for all things that happened. They did things with the pyramids. We still can't figure out how they did them with the technology they had available. We have no idea how they built the pyramids like they did, because we in the modern age can't conceive how they managed to do that. That's how advanced their technology was, how they did things. They were industrious, they were creative, and they also hurt some people. They did some bad and terrible things along the way. And what's sometimes hard when we look back at stories like this, when we look back at stories in the Bible, we look at a nation like Egypt, and they're on the other side of God, right? They're on the bad side. They're doing things wrong. That doesn't always mean that every Egyptian went along. I have to wonder if some of the Egyptians were there when this king, this pharaoh, decided to break the bonds with the people of Israel, to break the promise of what had been. I have to wonder if there were some Egyptians that said, no, this isn't right. These people are my friends. There were probably Egyptians that were good and trying to live well and rightly, but they were drowned out by Pharaoh and many other Egyptians that saw advantage if Israel would get knocked down. And so that's what happened. Egypt enslaved a group of people that had been their neighbors, quite possibly their friends. And this reminds me a little bit of our history in the United States here with Native American tribes. European settlers came in and made promises to Native American tribes. And then later the United States government did that. And if you study the history of what went on, there's a series of broken promises that even though the United States government didn't enslave, didn't fully do what Egypt did, there were a series of broken promises. There was hurt there. Ancient Egypt had welcomed this group of people, Joseph's people, in, and instead of keeping their promises, instead of learning to live together, which, mind you, is super hard. It's been hard to live. If you live with a family or if you live with other people in this COVID season, it's hard to get along just interpersonally as a family right now when you're isolated and you're always with each other. That is why I will come back with makeup on my face next week. That will be the reason why. Caitlin will be like, one quip too many, Ben. Sorry. But it's hard to get along as a family, much less as different cultural groups trying to live together. I want to acknowledge that is super hard and super difficult. But instead of trying that, Egypt enslaved the people of Israel. They turned on them, put them beneath them, and dehumanized them. And that's the piece that I want to focus on today, because it sets up the rest of the Exodus story. Because dehumanizing people, making people seem less human, or at least in your own mind, that is the way of the enemy. That's what the enemy does. Trying to make living human beings sound less like people is the way that the Satan works, that the accuser works. There is not a godly way to do it. It is not possible, because as Jesus followers, we know that human life has value. We know that human beings are valuable. Even when they are making terrible decisions that hurt themselves or hurt others, they are still valuable. One of the common tendencies that I've seen that is alarming me a little bit in our culture these days, and this is no big secret, like this is not some clever, brilliant insight that Ben got from his Reading the Signs of the Times seminary class. We all know this is going on, that discourse between people is just, conversation between people is very intense, and it's rough, especially when people disagree. And one of the more common strategies these days seems to be to lump the other side, whatever that other side is, and it could be politically. I mean, just frankly, I want to confess, I did it for years with Texans. As an Oklahoman, I lumped all Texans into a category, and that category, whatever it was bad. And it started off as a joke, and I hope it stayed a joke most of the time, but it was not a good look. It was not a good thing. And whether it's done in a joking manner or not, when we lump an entire group of people together and we put them down, when we do things like that, it gets us into a rough situation. Because I've seen people on Facebook call another group of people animals. And that is not okay, ever. It is not the Jesus way, ever. And that doesn't mean you have to agree with what that other group of people is doing. There is a difference between agreement and treating people well as human beings. But the second we start to forget that human beings are all image bearers of the living God, as soon as we forget that all of us have value, and we start to dehumanize, we actually go against Jesus. Let me pull this up here. It's Matthew chapter 22. It's verses 37 through 40. Jesus replied, asked what the greatest commandment was. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. The big contrast that we see between Jesus and Pharaoh, the big contrast is that Pharaoh says these people are a threat, that they're beneath us, he goes so far as to attack them. Jesus says they're your neighbor. Love them. Love them like you love yourself. And I just want to caution us about dehumanizing people, because that's what happened in Egypt. That's what happened in this Bible story to make things bad. I'm sorry for those of us who are joining us online. I couldn't get this graphic up there for whatever reason. On the screen, it just started disappearing. But this is Pharaoh, right? When we begin to dehumanize people, we begin to be like Pharaoh. And the problem is that is a super easy trap to fall into, because it starts small. It starts with a couple of jokes about people being from Texas. You know, the whole one about how God had made this great and beautiful land, Oklahoma, and the angels said, you know, how do they compensate for that? Well, if you look just to the south, there's Texas, this barren thing. I know, my friends in Texas, I know there are beautiful, wonderful pieces of Texas, and I'm fully admitting my Oklahoman bias. I'm trying to live in better ways. But it starts out with a joke. It starts out with, you know what, man, I can't believe how terrible, those people are terrible. But when it goes to those people are terrible, if I say that a people group is terrible, there's no redemption for that. Because if I say, hey, somebody, that action you took, that was terrible, there's a way you cannot be terrible. Don't do that thing. But if I say, you are terrible, there's no way to be not terrible out of that. And it's not so much of a jump from people saying, hey, those people are terrible. Man, they're monsters. I can't believe how those animals are acting. And then it gets worse and worse from there. That is the enemy talking. Don't give Satan a foothold in your life. Follow after Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't put down groups of people that we can, that we should disagree with even. But don't give Satan that foothold in your life. And so my encouragement, don't be a Pharaoh in the here and now. And step one for us as Jesus followers is to make sure that we are not contributing to hatred or the dehumanization of people. I think I've talked about this before here about how we are all image bearers of God. Genesis 1 says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God created people in God's image. And when we look in the mirror, when we look in the mirror and stare, we see a piece of, somehow we see an image of God looking back at us, that all of us are what are known as bearers of the divine image, that we are an image bearer of God. And especially as Jesus followers, we need to repent of the ways that we dehumanize people. Just frankly, I have been convicted of that this week. I've been convicted of the areas and the spaces in my own life where I need to repent of this, where I've had thoughts about, man, that person's a monster. I need to be repenting of this, and I want to invite us all towards that too. What's so hard about this is that sometimes people do monstrous things. Sometimes people do terrible things, and it doesn't seem like they're living up to this, that they're, when they look in the mirror, they're not reflecting very much of God back. Even when people are acting hard, even when people are making choices that are rough and terrible, we still see the value in their life because they are human beings. They are created in the image of the living God. So don't be a Pharaoh yourself. That's something you can do. Don't be a Pharaoh. Don't see people as, see other groups of people as less than. I have to wonder if one of Pharaoh's problems was that he didn't know any Israelites, that he didn't know people that were from the people of Israel, and that's why he was afraid of them. We often fear what we don't know. Don't let fear overtake you. Be emboldened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Connect with people instead of fearing them, and don't let fear overwhelm you, but let perfect love drive out fear. The last thing, it's probably worthwhile to look at who is a Pharaoh in our world. Who are the Pharaohs in our lives? Who are the people that are doing things like this, that are breaking promises, that are lumping groups of people together? Who are Pharaohs? Because Pharaohs in our world, whether they are, 3,000 some odd years ago or whether they are here today, they are worth standing up to. We'll see later in the story that Pharaoh is opposed by God, not because Pharaoh's not a human being himself. He is. He is a valuable person made in the image of God, but because he was not treating other people like they were human. There are those in our world that deny the image of God in people, the shared humanity that we all have through their words, through their actions. I've got two that people have actually emailed me that have connected with me about this week. So I want to share them. One of them is the Uyghur Muslims in China. They're a people group that are being persecuted right now. I'm having a struggle to come up with even the right words to say, because I cannot express how terrible and how horrible that is. The other group, human trafficking victims. We know there are people that others are denying the image of God they see in him, that they are viewing people as less than human. It is worth opposing people that do that. It is worth opposing people that are denying the humanity in others. There are pharaohs that are alive and well in our day and age, even right now. And this story that we're in, this text, is not a happy story yet. This story is a story of how Pharaoh enslaved this group of people, how he took them into bondage, and we want to lament that. And we want to lament that there are people that are still struggling with that today. There are many other groups that I could mention, many other people that have had their humanity denied by others. And we could spend all day doing that. But we know, I want to tell you, we know this is not where the story ends. We know that God opposes the oppression of human beings, that our God is a God who saves people, that who saves not just the people of Israel in our story of Egypt that we're going to be exploring. God doesn't just save the people in Exodus. God brings salvation to our entire world through Jesus. That God offers salvation to our entire world. And next week we are going to jump forward to stories of how God is starting to break through, how God is starting to lead the people of Israel more and more towards the path that's ultimately going to end up with Jesus. But for right now, let's pray that God helps us stand up to the pharaohs in our own lives, and that God will see us through. So let's pray together. God, we acknowledge that there are pharaohs in our world. I acknowledge that sometimes I have been a pharaoh, that sometimes I have been someone who denies the value in other people, and God, I need your forgiveness for that. Please forgive me. If there are others in this room, or watching online that need your forgiveness because we have somehow denied the humanity of someone else, we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We don't want to be Pharaoh. We want to be people following after you. Help give us the courage to stand up to the pharaohs in our world. God, we pray for the Uyghur people right now. We pray that you would protect them, that you would empower them, that you would prevent persecution of them, that they would be taken care of well, that they would come to know you. God, give them protection and safety. God, for people that are victims of human trafficking, whatever form that may be, God, we pray that you would free them, that you would help other people see them, that you would help us be involved in freeing people that are victims of human trafficking. God, may we stand up to the pharaohs in our world. May we stand up to the pharaohs in our lives. And may we stand up for you. Give us grace, wisdom, and courage. Let your perfect love drive out fear and help us see the humanity, see the image of God in each person we encounter, so that we can draw people more and more towards you, so that we can see you in every person we meet. God, help us to do this all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope and pray that as you go this week, that you will go not being a Pharaoh, that you will go instead being someone who sees the full humanity of each and every person you encounter, and that mostly you draw people to Jesus as you work against the pharaohs that are in our world, and as you work to get people closer and closer to Jesus. Take care. Go in peace.